Recording in progress.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the meeting. I'll call this meeting to order. First item on the agenda is the Pledge of Allegiance, led by Councilmember Dahl.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right. Thanks, everyone, for coming out. It shouldn't be too exciting of a meeting tonight. We'll kick it off with public comment. Just as a note, like always, this is a time for public comment on all non-agenda items. So if you have public comment on an item that is not on the agenda, now is the time. Is there any public comment? Here, Mr. Nicker, go ahead. Go ahead.
Dave Jensen, 401 West Gale. History seems to keep repeating itself here in East Elm, specifically overbuilding of the wastewater treatment plant infrastructure based on over-optimistic future shortage and growth projections that have and will continue to have an adverse monetary impact on the average East Elm resident, which is wrong. While the developers and other newcomers don't pay for 100% of the treatment plant expansion is now being proposed and required due to letting them add on at no cost to the current wastewater system. RPA currently is projecting the current year 2027 average daily flow to be 143% of the current year 2022 average daily flow, which was at 55.4% of the current maximum plant capacity. How did that happen without passing the cost of the proposed expansion onto the new developments? Existing East Elm residents currently have excess plant capacity, and if not for school district number 9 locating all of the schools in East Helena City, in the East Helena city limits, along with the developers' proposed growth and allowing county subdivisions to impact the wastewater plant, such as Red Fox Meadows, without paying any impact fees, existing long-term East Helena residents would only be having to perform some combination of minor major rehabilitation that could have been funded without having to endure both current and future rate increases rather than building a very large expanded wastewater plant facility. In closing, the current issues surrounding the Clark Street Sewer District dissolution and failure to pay for services already provided should be a wake-up call for this and future city council members to take the necessary steps to protect the existing East Elm residents from potential defaults by current and future developers and newcomers. The first step would be to require the developer to pay 100% of the Clark Street Sewer Main upgrade expansion to a 12-inch main, which would provide sewer main EDU capacity insurance in the event that the proposed future development does not proceed as planned.
Thank you for your public comment. Is there any other public comment on non-agenda items? Please, Sean, how are you
going? I didn't want to cut you off. I let you go first.
Oh,
All right.
Sean Redwolf, 3015 Rancorn Drive. So this is regarding East Helena Senior Citizens Club. And I just wanted to give a quick update that we're going into 4 months now. And what I've learned in the past 4 months is that a social club is really nice to have. But the reality is our community is growing. And so I think we're going to start exploring a senior citizen center and what that might entail and costs and programming and all that sort of stuff. And I've contacted the Rocky Mountain Development Council, and so hopefully I'll be able to work with all of them and understand how they run the Helena Senior Center. So in a few months, I'll probably come back and give you more of a get on your agenda and give you more of a full idea of what I've uncovered here and how this will proceed. So. But I think it's really the newspaper reported that the senior population is 15% in East Helena, according to the 2022 statistics. And if you include all the way down to 50 and older, it's as high as 33%. So if we start on this now, I think it's a reasonable time to do it. So anyways, I'll be back, but I just wanted to give a quick update and let you know I'm still working on this whole idea. Thanks.
Thanks, Sean. Thank you for a public comment. I appreciate you giving us that update. Is there any further public comment on non-agenda items? All right. We'll get into the business. Next up is the approval of the March 19th minutes. Council members in front of you, you have the minutes from the March 19th meeting. Is there any public comment on these proposed minutes?
Just one real quick. Dave Jensen, 401 Whiskey Hill. Public hearing number two stated that Dave Jensen commented in opposition to the proposed annexation. It's completely inaccurate since I did not specifically voice an opinion either way. My comment was regarding if this annexation occurred, then impact fees that included water and sewer at a minimum need to be assessed in their entirety and the verbiage included in any future agreements.
Thank you for your public comment.
Yep.
All right. Any further public comment on the minutes? Seeing none, council.
Does Mr. Jensen, do you have public comment then that you'd like to submit for that instead?
I think I just did. I said my comment was regarding that. Here, I said my comment was regarding if this annexation occurred, then impact fees that included water and sewer and minimum need to be assessed in their entirety and the verbiage included in any future agreements. I know there's a kind of a reluctance or a resistance to changing what was in the verbiage, but that was what I said. What I can do is, if not, I can reiterate my comments in an unfinished business one, the second reading.
I think they can. And
then I will send a copy of my written comments to Amy. But, okay.
Okay.
Thanks.
Thank you, Dave.
I'll move to approve with the amendments noted for Mr. Jensen.
Motion to approve as amended.
I'll second.
And second, all those in favor?
Aye.
All right. Moving on. City court reports. Judge Loveless is not here, but you have a piece of paper in front of you regarding the counting of the court. There are no comments on that. After that, we have the departmental reports. First one, as always, is Amy.
I don't have a whole lot. The audit will be the week of May 6th for fiscal year 23. We've been getting a lot of calls, more every week, about swimming. Even had a lifeguard drop-off application this week, even though we haven't advertised that job yet. And we've been working on kind of the preparation to transition over to the new website with Nicole from RPA.
Thank you, Amy. Any questions for Amy? All right, Chief Sanders is here with the police department update.
Good evening, everybody. I don't have a lot either. We had 377 calls for service in March. That averages out to a little per day. Higher frequency calls included 13 animal calls, we had 9 traffic accidents, we had 8 agency assists, and 6 citizen assists, 5 disorderly conducts, and 2 assaults. On March 20th, I gave a presentation at the Montana Law Enforcement Academy on leadership to, there was probably 40 or 50 law enforcement officials there from around the state that were taking part in a 3-week leadership course. It's 1 week per month over 3 months. Anyways, it was a lot of fun. So it's nice to meet some folks talk to them about what's going on in their areas. Had a meeting with County IT on the 21st, and it appears that some of our continuing IT issues are related to an old switch. They have a new switch on order. It's not here yet. And then I noticed today that they were up on the roof replacing some, I don't know, microwave dishes, whatever, on the big antenna up there. They don't have things hooked up, but at least it's installed.
Getting closer.
Yeah. So I don't know when that's going to be finished. But. And then on the 26th, I attended the chamber coffee with Councilmember Feist. Bonnie from our office, and I took Officer Kirkgaard as well. So that's all I have.
Thank you, Chief.
I have a question, Chief. Typically, we don't exceed 300 calls for service. Is that correct?
No, as the weather warms up, we'll this summer we'll be up probably
people are more comfortable calling because of the established department now? Do you think that that's any part of the increase for calls?
I think it's just the population increase. That's probably part of it. Just better trust and confidence with the police department that things can be handled in an appropriate manner. And we just got to know the people in the community. Things, a lot of things aren't really super, you know, criminal related or anything like that. It's just calling to give us information on some things and whatnot. It's been really enjoyable to see the transition or the transformation from where we started a couple of years ago to where we are today. And a lot of it is just the weather warming up, become more active, and that sort of stuff.
Any other questions? Sorry. Nope. Thank you, Chief. All right, next up is Public Works.
Yeah. All right. So Amy said she didn't have much to report on, but trust me, the office is extremely busy. So kudos to Amy. Also, Mike, we had a potential code in my volunteer fire district a couple days ago, and Mike's staff was there helping. It's just great to see. I assure you, in the 20 years that I've been involved on and off with Eastgate Volunteer Fire Department, city police officers were not there helping us perform CPR. They weren't working in unison with the county. So, good job to you and your folks. So, anyway, brag about us a little bit. So the next bragging, we had a water rights call with MEPG, DNRC, Fish, Wildlife, and Parks. Pete and Kelly did super good in this meeting. I have to tip my hat to Attorney Elbrum here. Pete, for a couple of weeks, was like, oh, it's going to be a horrible meeting. There are going to be jerks in it, Kev. I tend to maybe fall on the nice guy side of life and say, no, it's going to go fine. Well, the meeting totally caught me off guard just by the way the meeting ran. There was nobody like, it was just a free-for-all. These two guys rocked it. Proud of them. So they did good. They did a great job asking for our water rights like we should. And we'll see what happens. Attorney Bloomquist did do a follow-up email to him today. So that process is moving forward. I think we'll get our rights at the end of the day, unless you guys feel differently, but it seems pretty promising. Talking to Cindy and just people in the know of that area, sounds like we're going to get them. So that was great. So Pete, good job.
Prodded him for that.
There's a little ribbon going on here, can't tell. Other than that, next council meeting, Parks Master Plan presentation. So basically this isn't anything super formal by any means. It's basically just going to report on the current state of our parks, which they're tired and past their, you know, useful life. And then after Brad does his presentation on that kind of stuff, really what we're going to be looking for is kind of guidance from you, where you want to see things go, not only for existing parks, but future park lands, future trails, how are we going to tie that in, how are we going to pay for it, obviously. You know, I think in the new subdivisions, obviously, park RIDs are the way to go, but we also have existing parks that they're expensive to maintain. I mean, we know the parking lot's bad, their playground equipment's tired. I just ordered two new little spring horsey rides, I don't know what you want to call them, and a slide, and that was almost $2,000. So playground equipment is crazy expensive. To replace the playground equipment at JFK, I haven't seen Brad's numbers, but it's well over $100,000. It's expensive. So we'll work through the process. Again, we're kind of looking for guidance from you guys as a council on what way to steer that ship a little bit, but we'll keep going on that. Working with Trish, we're finishing up, even though, don't panic if you read that it says that April 1st was the due date for asking for House Bill 355 funding, it really isn't. We're working through a couple final things on that application, and they even said it, the water conference and stuff in Great Falls, that really is not the drop dead date to get your funding. We're working on that. The only frustrating part with that, they did put some language in that at the last minute. Originally, we weren't planning on having to spend any general fund money on engineering, but they did put a little thing in there that this preliminary work and doing the application and everything can actually be taken from those funds. I have money in roads and streets for engineering assistance. I didn't plan on spending it, but we have it, so it's fine. So we'll make that request. And then lastly, I got notified from the county, Rodeo Drive was already taken. So it's Buckle Street. You guys had approved Buckle Road, but per the way that this county names, East Island is designated as streets for the most part, so they asked if we were okay with the street. I said yes. They currently just assigned a temporary 518 address to that for Ron. There is a petition process that they're trying to bypass, just since there's only two property owners. I mean, it's Prickly Pear Land, or MEPG, and Prickly Pear Estates. They're trying to bypass all that paperwork if they can. So
there's three, there's us as well.
Okay, and us. But since we made the request, he did not include us as needing to be notified.
We are also that.
So it's Buckle Street. And with that, if you have any questions, yeah. Okay, I'm going to sit down.
Thanks, Kev. Any questions for Kev? None? Okay. Next up, is Roger available?
He's not.
Okay, Roger is not online, so we'll excuse Roger for this time. That brings us to the second reading of Ordinance 286. You have in front of you the second reading. Obviously, this is just to go over what we covered last meeting and have us approve or deny or table it. This is the exact same verbiage. Nothing has changed since last meeting. I'll hear any public comment on the second reading of the Ordinance 286.
Dave Jensen, 401 Wisconsin. Just real quick, just for the record, if the annexation, which looks like it's going to move forward, of this land occurs, then impact fees that include water and sewer at a minimum needs to be assessed in their entirety, and verbiage to the impact fees in their entirety and verbiage to that effect needs to be included in any future agreements with the developer. Just a little different than what I said.
To Jay's point,
yep.
Development fees are included in our city and they are part of this. If you approve them, you guys pass them, they will be included.
Very good.
Any other public comment? Council.
I'll move to approve.
Motion second. To approve.
I'll second.
And a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
All right. Got our unfinished business taken care of. That brings us to new business. First thing there is the request to hold a craft fair in Main Street Park on July 13th. We have it in front of us. We do have a bit of a kind of a standard thing. I think this is during rodeo. Correct.
It is. Last year you approved use of the park for $100 and approved a blanket business license. This year they're not including the pavilion in that request because the smelter workers are having their reunion, and I did call them to make sure that they were okay with a craft show going up in front of the park while they have their reunion.
Okay.
And they were.
You reached out to Jim and Lenny?
Lenny and Scott, and they were good with
you
it.
For official men.
Got very confused. We were talking
public
about
meetings.
We're going to.
Yeah.
He's the only Nick.
I'm like, yeah. I was like, who's Scott? Then my brain's like, oh, poor chap. Cool. As long as they're cool, that was my only concern.
Yeah,
but other than that, it's a standard thing we have granted years previous. Any public comment on the request for a craft and quilt show on the 13th? Seeing none, council.
I'll move to approve.
Motion to approve.
I'll second.
Second, all those in favor?
Aye.
All right, moving right along. Second up, the 2020 urban boundaries map. You have the map attached, there's a couple changes. I don't think we have a whole lot to say in this. This is pretty much has to be done. But.
No, it doesn't change the boundary line at all or anything. Literally, they just added these little chunks on your road and everything, so the agreements have to be re-signed. So, per our city code, it says that prior Mayor Harris signing an agreement, you need to approve it. So, if you could please review and give us that blessing, we will send this back to MDT.
If you look on the map, the two that are probably most pertinent, well, the one that's really most pertinent to us is the one on 518, and that's the one that would just be considered no longer secondary, but urban. But I don't know if there's any public comment on the urban boundaries map request. Seeing none, council.
Move to approve.
Motion to approve.
Second.
And a second, all in favor?
Aye.
Alrighty. That brings me up to the next one, which is a Main Street Park gazebo fee waiver for the VFW cleanup, community cleanup. I believe we have Eric is here, and it has me on here, but Eric, this is your request, so if you want to go ahead and talk, go ahead.
So May 4th is the National and International VFW Day of Service. This year, I approached Kevin, asked if we could come up with a project for our post to clean up around the town, pick up trash, straighten up little things just to help out the town. And we would like to do a picnic at Main Street Park right after 1 to 2 in the afternoon. I was talking to Kevin about it, and he said he could help me with filling out this paperwork for a waiver I didn't know existed. So we would like to clean up the streets and have free hot dogs at the park after, if the council would approve that.
So it's pretty, I would call this good trade for picking up for some park waiver. That's what I would call this, good trade for us. But on that note, is there any public comment regarding the fee waiver request for the gazebo on Main Street Park for the cleanup group?
Thank you.
Seeing none.
Oh, yeah. I'll move to approve.
Motion to approve.
I'll second it.
And a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
All right. Voila. Kevin will help you, and I'm assuming Kevin will help you with picking up trash.
Yeah, already hammered out all the details.
We do with the school, does some similar things, and any of those people that reach out and clean up the community, we really appreciate that. So what our guy can do is pick up just the easy part of that. Appreciate it.
Yeah.
All right. Number 4, the temporary employment of a pool manager / lifeguard trainer. Okay, so here's the deal. As my friend Jim Gray likes to say, here's the deal. On this one, we need to have somebody that's qualified to train our lifeguards. We have one person. That person traditionally had been our pool manager, Kimber Mook. You guys all know her. Kimber has obtained alternative employment that pays much more than we pay her to be the pool manager. Good for her. She's a teacher now, and she's going to teach summer school. She's willing to take some of her time from that gig to help us out and get us some people trained up so we can operate our pool and our kids can enjoy the pool this summer. But she has a wage request that is in line with what she was making, to be making at the job. She's going to be not showing up for to train our people. And that seems pretty fair. We don't have anybody else that's any cheaper or in line, so this is a, but per our policies, we're gonna put it in front of you as a temporary pool manager. This would be just a, to get her through the class for the, to be the trainer, which she has to go recertify, I guess what you call it.
Yeah, so we go through Missoula's Aquatic Center, right, and they'll recertify her, and then that gives her the ability to come and train our lifeguards per Red Cross. And
do all how long do you expect this training to last?
I would think 2 weeks or less, max.
A little kind of hour.
It's a 2-day, so it's a 2-day class for her to get recertified. And then it really just depends on how many lifeguards we end up having. So far out of the 5 we have committed, 3 of them need to be recertified. And then it'll just depend on what we get for applicants as far as lifeguards. The one that applied yesterday, I guess, already is certified as a lifeguard, which is awesome. That's every 2 years they have to be recertified for that. So typically she does the, you know, the class is 2 days. It's historically been held in Fairmont. So we'll have the hotel cost, you know, to send her over there. And then it's usually 2 to 3 days of lifeguard training, just depending on the numbers.
It is more expensive than it has been in previous years, but, you know, with the cops doing business, and frankly, I'm super proud of Kimber. She's growing up and becoming a, she's killing it, so we all knew that was going to happen.
Have we thought about reaching out to Townsend and areas around and get her some more students?
So historically we do. Historically we end up training Townsend's and Boulder lifeguards. They reimburse us for the cost. It doesn't cost us anything. So historically, yes, because they don't have anybody. That's why Townsend hasn't been able to open in years past, is because they can't get anybody trained. They're in the same position we are. They're hiring for a pool manager right now. I don't know about Boulder, but
short answer, yes. Upon approval of this, yes.
Yes.
Well, I had read someplace that Townsend was going to try to open their pool again this year, and I know it hasn't been open, so
we
I was wondering who was doing their training.
We had Boulder's kids last year, and they were great. And we, you know, again, there's a way to recoup a little bit of cost, but it's just a matter of just the cost of business. So. On that note, is there any public comment on the temporary employment of pool manager request?
It was nice to hear a little bit of the questions and that. It would have been nice if that would have been in the packet. I could have cut this down, but I'm going to stick to the script. 401 West Gale. There was not enough information provided so the public could make an informed comment. The rate of pay to be set at $28.29 per hour seems high and seems like the city staff has already negotiated with an interested person without going through the interview process, which should be of concern since this organization is supposed to be an equal opportunity employer. In addition, information pertaining to the estimated total cost of hiring this position at $28.29 rate that includes employment taxes, insurance, etc., along with a projected estimated operating loss for the summer 2024 pool season at a minimum would be essential information for the public to make comments on and this council to make an informed decision on. In closing, I still just don't understand why this council allows city staff to continually back them into a position where there is no time or ability to seek more cost-effective alternatives that can provide either the same or better results while minimizing the financial impacts to the residents you're supposed to be representing.
Thank you for your public comment. Is there any further public comment on the request? Seeing none, council.
I have a motion to approve.
A motion to approve.
I'll second it.
And I have a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Alrighty. Number five. This is your third quarter budget report. Kind of know what the deal is real here anymore. I'm happy to report in front of you. I don't think there's anything really that sticks out of any kind of.
Do you have questions?
Everything is kind of around. I mean, there's some things that are higher, some things get billed at different times of the year, but I think we're very on track. Any specific questions we take now? Kevin or Amy are very, very familiar with their budgets, and we could address if you had something. But again, it's just keep your head in front of our action.
So we're going to have to change things next year or something. I have a question on engineering and architectural. Yes?
Is there any public comment on the report?
There are some red flags regarding several categories and the appearance of disproportionate charging occurring again in some funds, along with revenue and cash balance information missing, which would be required in order to make informed public comments. So I reserve the right to make my public comments at a later date. In addition, I'd like to hear from the City Council if the City Council has any comments or concerns with the budget information that was presented so I can incorporate it in the future comments. I'm sorry, there is a couple.
Thank you for your public comments. Any other public comment? Seeing none.
Talk now?
Under
culture and recreation, we had $22,000 for engineering and architectural. Okay. That is page 30. I mean, it doesn't look like it was a line item.
It is, we just haven't spent anything on. So that's because, so the Parks Master Plan is part of that, plus we just have, I think I put 5,000 in there just for if we needed anything at the parks, you know, if something failed, playground equipment-wise. So we just haven't seen any invoices because typically RPA doesn't bill until, you know, at least 50% of the project is completed. So they're just doing that presentation on the Parks Master Plan this morning.
Pretty expensive job, though.
Put 20,000 in there,
yeah.
Is what we, so I guess I have 2,000 on this one, but yeah, I mean, it was 20,000. And that's, again, the guidance that we need. I mean,
yeah.
City of Kalispell spends over $100,000 on their Parks Master Plan. I don't think we're at that level. So we budgeted 20, and we just have to decide how we want to go. So
which
that's
we'll talk about next week?
Yeah.
Or next
couple weeks, yeah.
That's all I had, was just.
This is an action item, but if you have any other questions, we can mail them out to anybody else.
It's good, I think, and where we also, I think, years ago, where this was at different points in the year is very different than where. out of whack categories are minimal.
Yeah.
They're small categories, so it's not large amounts of money that are out of whack as far as percentages are concerned. So we appreciate your diligence, all of you.
Probably should have been informational.
What are we approving?
Approved presentation.
I just filled that out wrong. It was supposed to be informational. That's my fault.
I questioned that. I was like, I don't
want to.
I approve Kevin's
presentation. I'll second it.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Thanks, guys. Next up, this is the yearly MMI group benefits election. You have the updates in front of you. As always, MMI is our insurance provider. They are the one option we have, really. We should go private, but pretty much we're required to do this. Every single state goes through them. You have the different plans in front of you. I wouldn't foresee us going backwards in our plans that we're offering our people currently, but that is my pretty little opinion.
And mostly what we need approved here is to go with the same benefit elections, which are on this first page. We will have 15 employees this next year because we've added a patrol officer on the insurance. But they want us to know what we're going to do for fiscal year 25 by the 18th of this month. So if you did need longer to think about it, we could push it out until next meeting. The increase seems to be in line with inflation. It's about 8%. So on the Bridger plan, that adds $70 to the Bridger plan that we've been going with.
Do you have a breakdown of what employees use what plans?
Most use the Bridger. There's a couple of Madison, but I think that's just because either they didn't understand or get around to switching to the Bridger. So we'll have to tackle that at open enrollment, make sure everybody knows that they can get a higher plan if they want. And we have one on the high deductible plan.
Any public comment on the benefit election?
The 401 was bill. There was not enough information provided so the public can make informed comments. For instance, what do the East Delta residents pay for? Just medical and a limited basic life and accident, disability, and dismemberment? Or is dental and vision plans included that the residents actually pay for? In addition, what is the current amount that East Delta residents pay for per employee? Is the most expensive insurance plan offered? Is the amount paid an employee benefit only, or is the amount paid as a stipend allocation that can be used to enter into a less expensive insurance plan along with funding family members? Those are kinds of things that would be nice to know. So answers to those questions and others would be helpful, so the potential financial impact of the residents could be at least estimated and the public would be informed.
Thank you for your public comment. Any further public comment? Council.
Is Mr. Jensen asking for those answers now?
Most of those answers can be found at the nearby website.
We actually didn't get fiscal year 25 numbers till today. That's why they're on your table.
And this could be shared publicly then?
Yeah.
Which I'm sure it's on their site too. I wouldn't want to change our plans for employees. We have a great staff and have had very low turnover, and I think that this is a portion as to why. And especially with current workforce trends, it's very, very difficult to recruit qualified people to do the jobs that we have them do. So this benefit hopefully keeps people around too. So I move to approve.
The motion on briefly. I'm working with some pool stuff, obviously. Trying to get staff set up and go through some of the things out here and getting that arranged so we can train our staff and have a cool over for our kids this summer. Rodeo is a constant thing going on right now. You can expect to see something regarding the dirt next time. Next meeting. I had a conversation with Ron tonight about it. But you expect something regarding the dirt. So there's just, they're moving on a breakneck pace to try to make rodeo happen, and things are happening fast, so things may get thrown at you fast as well. As the DC, we have a part in that. Pops up often. Sometimes like, whoa, I didn't think about that. So again, spoke to Ron. Working with Kevin and kind of at my other job, creation of a building official / inspector position. It would be solely funded through permits fees. So it would be temporary part time, only working when there is a, you know, we currently subcontract that out through PETCHA and receive about 10%, which is more than we had previously, but 10% of that fee goes back to the city coffers for Port Collegiate Jump Front and stuff. So working on a different contract that you kind of wants to get out of it. So we're going to look, maybe have a job posting for a temporary part-time person to do that, but it'll be funded by fees. So working on that job description, and that might be probably in front of you fairly soon. And then we have the water ice call. Kevin did a good job explaining to you. We all, Kevin included, did a good job of standing firm in the council's wishes to actively seek water rights from the Millstone properties, and they expressed our desires to for those to remain in the city to support the growth that those lands are ultimately being designated for. So we did a good job of that, and I think everyone did a good job. Us. Mr. Bloomquist was clear in our rights, and although we understand some other people's desires, I think that we have a very good case. So that's been about it for me. Any questions? Cool. Council member reports. Mr. Gall.
I have nothing.
I as well.
Council member Fikes.
Hometown Helena last week, Prickly Pear Land Trust was a presenter, and they did really tout the city of East Helena. So as Kevin, you commented, they were so grateful for working with East Helena, and it was nice to hear that message public. Coffee with the Chamber, appreciate the chief and those that attend when they can. Did visit with Northwestern Energy. They're going to be requesting to come visit on some updates that they are making, upgrades their system, and if there's a possibility for coordination with any of the work that we have going on. So referred them to you all and to the council as well. Appreciate the VFW for the Easter egg hunt every year. That is amazing and so grateful. So glad you're here tonight. Share that, but always so grateful for that and such a good turnout. So, and then it was nice to see the on a volunteer fire department twice in the news for good things, so it's nice to see people reaching out to East Helena and East Helena reaching out to get some good press. So that's all I got.
Thank you, Councilmember Feist. Councilmember Ferguson.
I don't have anything to report.
Okay. Well, you're it.
Yep. We talked on the water rights stuff. That was a good meeting. Just kind of our request and assertion that those lands are being turned into homes. The water rights are necessary in order to for the city to facilitate providing water to the homes. So any of those decisions and the transfer of land and these kind of rights go through the trustees, which is like the federal government, the state government, and then METG. So anyway, there was some consternation, as Kevin alluded to, from one entity at the state. Do something with them, but I think they're going to transfer them to home developers that need water, and we should have enough water to allow them to build homes. I'm taking a conflict case for the city of Helena that arises every once in a while, so I'm prosecuting a case over there. The courts have been going well here. I'm trying to think, we had a couple bench trials on traffic stuff recently, and another individual changed their plea, which was good. We did also have the parks. You just
go to Land Trust.
Yeah, those folks. We did have a meeting with them, kind of coordinating the park space and with the developments and trying to get everyone on the same page. So if we are at multiple entities putting in walking trails and things, that they link up and are thoughtful. So I think that was a good coordinating plan or coordination meeting. We're trying to be forward thinking so that as these, we're in a kind of unique position because all these lands are in the city already and the developers are coming with their subdivision plans. And we also have a large greenway, you know, bisecting the city and these two different sides of town as we push south. So again, that meeting was pretty fruitful as far as getting everyone on the same page of kind of what the city's thinking, what they're thinking, and trying to get the developers on to link up and have everything sync. But that's kind of it, depending on your questions.
Alright. Well, darn it, we're down to the payment of the bills. How do we do that?
I always forget.
I'll move we pay the bills.
Do you have a motion to pay the bills?
Second.
A second. All those in favor?
Aye.
All right. I will adjourn this meeting at 7:12. Thank you for coming out, everybody.
Yeah.
Well, I already was getting money on stuff. I have money here in town.